Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. A Ukrainian official says a drone attack has destroyed more than 40 Russian planes deep in Russia's territory. The BBC's Paul Adams is in Kyiv.
The pictures that we have seen show drones attacking large strategic bombers parked on the tarmac. It was probably launched from inside Russia. Clearly, this is a very significant attack on the kinds of aircraft that Russia uses against targets across the country.
The attack comes a day before the two sides are expected to meet for a new round of direct peace talks in Istanbul. To Gaza now, where hospital officials say dozens of Palestinians have been killed by Israeli tank fire near a food aid center. The latest from the BBC's Sebastian Usher in Jerusalem.
They had received around 200 people who had been wounded, and that many of those, a doctor has been telling us, had wounds that were from bullets. The group which distributes aid, the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, has essentially denied these reports flat out.
Trade talks with China have stalled, and President Trump is accusing Beijing of violating what he says is a truce, where he lowered the rate from 145%. But Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent told Face the Nation,
I'm confident that when President Trump and Party Chairman Xi have a call, that this will be ironed out.
The Atlantic hurricane season officially starts today. So what are we in for this year?
NOAA officials predict a 60% chance of an above average hurricane season this year with 3 to 5 major hurricanes. But above average seems to be the new normal. Since 2015, every Atlantic season has produced more than the historic average. In 2025, El Nino's southern oscillation could intensify storms. So could warmer waters driven by climate change. Hurricane season runs through November. Bradley Blackburn, CBS News.
Smoke from Canadian wildfires has caused air quality concerns in the Midwest. Weather Prediction Center meteorologist Brian Jackson tells us where.
There's quite a bit of smoke concentration over both North and South Dakota. Expected to remain that way today, and then it'll also drift east over Minnesota and Iowa.
There was a deadly mass shooting at a house party in North Carolina early this morning. Aaron Turk is with the Catawba County Sheriff's Office.
A dozen total injuries. One of those dozen is deceased. Another is critically injured. The rest are in area hospitals.
Investigators say there were about 100 people at the party. No arrests have been made yet. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, this is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Join us each Monday morning at the top of the 10 o'clock hour for tips, tricks, and a whole lot of fun. The Kitchen's Open, only on WFHR.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsin is known for its drinking culture, and women are at higher risk of negative health impacts than men. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
Experts say alcohol impacts women differently than men, affecting every system in the body and potentially leading to hundreds of conditions, including cardiovascular diseases and some types of cancers. Dr. George Kube directs the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. He says women absorb and metabolize alcohol differently and tend to have a higher blood alcohol level than men after consumption because of body water distribution.
The pathology associated with alcohol is just generally worse in women than in men and progress more quickly. Everything from emergency department visits, hospitalization, liver transplants, and even deaths among women compared to men.
And are more likely to self-medicate with alcohol. Nearly 30% of Wisconsin adults binge drink at least once per month. Kube notes that in the past 50 years, the prevalence of drinking for women has caught up to men, and some evidence suggests that women progress more quickly in the stages of addiction to alcohol than men. He advises being aware of any family history of alcohol use disorder, since addiction can have genetic and environmental components.
Alcohol is a social lubricant. It's an intricate part of our society, but its toxicity is dose dependent. So the more you drink, the more of the problems there are.
Research shows even one drink per day can increase a woman's risk for breast cancer by up to 15%. Currently, the U.S. dietary guidelines for women are one drink in a 24-hour period. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of sunshine and smoke overhead for today. Light west to southwest winds, highs in the upper 70s. Tonight, just a few clouds, lows in the upper 50s. Warmer Monday and breezy, mostly sunny, still smoky, with highs in the middle 80s. Right now, it's 64.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, Dr. Kristen Lyerly on giving pharmacists greater ability to prescribe birth control pills. And we start a new feature wrapping up the weekend in sports.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Krebscast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This week, we have a very special guest. Thanasis Antetokounmpo is coming on the show. If you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan, you're in for a real treat. We talk about everything from, what's going on next year with the Bucks to pet peeves, what makes him say cripes. He tries his very first bratwurst after 10 years in Milwaukee. He is trying his very first bratwurst right here on the Kripescast. That's sort of a special add-on that we're going to put to the end of this podcast. So, it's going to be great. Make sure you guys check it out. You should also know he is the host of the Analysis podcast, which is a great podcast. He was nice enough to have me on it about a year ago. Today. So, it's cool. And I just want to give him a shout out because he fit this into his schedule. He's about to head out to Greece for the summer. And so he just made time to do this. And I had a great time. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. So, ladies and gentlemen, here is my conversation with Thanasis Antetokounmpo. Well, thanks for coming on. I'm surprised you did, because the last time we talked later that afternoon, you might have gotten kind of an injury.
Oh, yeah. No. I don't.
You don't hold that against me?
No. Everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. And I don't hold that against you because you're a great dude, by the way.
Thank you.
And you've always supported like anything I do. So I'm in a heartbeat.
Okay.
My heart.
So there wasn't any part of you that thought I was bad luck?
No, I actually thought you were good luck because I was like, oh, at least I had this awesome podcast and interview before I got
hurt. Okay.
It could be worse. It could always be worse.
Yeah, it could.
Always be worse. Trust me.
How you feel now? You just came back from a workout?
I feel amazing, man. Knock on wood, I feel great. I just want to, I can't wait for the next season to start. I can't wait for the summer. Come in and just work out and do all the stuff. So.
Yeah, great. You're going back to Greece.
I'm out of here.
Every summer, man. Are you excited?
Yeah, bro. I'll tell you one thing, right? Whenever I go to Greece, it's an amazing thing because for us as a family too, because, it's our family time. But at the same time, we work, right, when it comes to our businesses. And then we work when it comes to the court. And Greece is such a good place in Europe in general because, like, even the Mediterranean cuisine, right, the food and everything, like, you stay in shape. You never get out of shape.
Whoa. Pause right there.
Yeah.
Pause right there. What are you trying to say about Midwest food right now?
I'm not trying to talk about Midwest food. What I'm trying to say is about like how much in general in the U.S. has so much big variety when it comes to food. So it's impossible to avoid anything, right? It's impossible to go like, I'm not going to eat this. And then next in your face, you go like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to eat Five Guys. And then I'm like, oh, then I'm going to eat Chick-fil-A. Oh, no, I'm not going to eat Chick-fil-A. But then I'm going to have, Shake Shack. Oh, I'm not going to have Shake Shack. But like, it's so many things. So it's always being thrown into your face, like, to have a, the cheap meal or, like, the snack. Or so, no, it's not about
Midwest. I mean, just to be
clear. I like Midwest. That's true.
Okay. And to be very clear, the Midwest has we have some of the most unhealthy food the world has ever seen. Whether it's deep-fried cheese curds, brats. Have you had a brat yet?
No, you told me it was gonna give me barbecue.
Outside, I got a grill going. So if you want your first brat today.
Oh yeah.
You will do it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I got news for you. That's gonna be a cheap meal though.
Oh, shoot. Okay, just you know what I want, though?
What's that?
I want the broad, but give me the simplest version of it, because I feel like
you don't trust me at all, do you?
I trust you, but I don't want to get like the peppers and the I just want to get the simplest version of it.
Standard brat.
Yes.
Okay. Not even mustard, not even horseradish.
I'll do those.
Okay.
Those I'll do. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get that going for you. I got the grill going just for you. Okay. Oh. First brat. I mean, this is like if I were to go to Greece. And yeah. I would have the most Greek cuisine possible. Yeah. What would be the equivalent of the brat in Greece?
Souvlaki.
Souvlaki?
Yes.
Okay. What's that?
It's like, so it's pita. You know what pita is?
Pita
bread.
Yeah.
Right? You put gyros.
Okay.
And gyros could be their chicken, beef, pork. It could be, one of those three.
Yeah.
And it's like a doner, but it's not doner. It's not goat. It's like those three. You put those, you put a little bit of tomato, tzatziki, you put maybe some onions.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to rock. Some potatoes, depends if you want to make it like the full house.
Deal. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be the equivalent of me like adding on the peppers and everything, probably. Yeah. Which you don't need in your life right now. Okay, I got it. Well, I got to do that sometime. I got to come to Greece.
Anytime. I'm going to be there, I'm going to be out there. So you're invited.
Thank you.
Just let me know if you want to, apartment, home, state, well, whatever, just show up.
I appreciate that. I'll just show up.
Just show up.
And hope you answer your phone.
No. Just show up. Okay. We got you.
All right, cool. So what's the best time to be out there? Because, the season's obviously during the winter. You're out there during the summer. Is that the ideal time to go there? Or is it just the time you got?
So this is very interesting that you say. So, Greece, basically has a big, big, big season, right? For the summer. So it's like 6 months summer in Greece, right? Oh, wow. Which is big.
It's like our winter.
But the summer is in Greece are very nice. Like the middle of the summer that it kind of gets really hot. But in between that, after that, it's really, really nice. And it's not like Vegas hot. It's just hot, but really nice.
See, this is a whole conversation, though. Like,
because Vegas is really hot.
Vegas is really hot, but it's that dry heat, desert heat.
Yeah.
So do you like more of that Florida heat, like the humidity added in?
No, I like Greece. Greece is in between those.
Okay, it's in between those.
Not too humid, because you don't want to go out there and feel like you're sweating before you even step out. The hotel or, your home. But I think Greece is just right.
Perfect. No better place than Greece. Nice. So when you're out there, like we got phrases in the Midwest, like if we want to say I love you, we say like, watch out for deer or something. We really make sure people know that. How do you guys say I love you in Greece without actually saying I love you? Do you have a phrase like that?
So how do we say I love you in Greek without saying I love you?
Yeah.
We do have a phrase. Well, I do think we have a phrase. I just can't think about it right now. But, our phrase would be equivalent to you guys saying, hey, be careful out there.
Okay.
That's our phrase. Like, prosigna. It doesn't necessarily say I love you, but it says I care.
Yeah.
So we do have that.
Right. And what about love generally? Cause like, I feel like the reason we say something like watch out for deer, even mm-hmm. like take care of yourself or whatever is because in the Midwest, we like not everybody, but I would say a lot of people we're largely disconnected from that love thing. We don't want like to give too much of ourselves, in terms of showing our true emotions. We like to repress emotions.
Yeah.
That's what I'm telling you. Is that the way in Greece or do you guys like really feel your emotions there?
No. So the thing about Greek culture, I come from two big cultures, right? So
yeah.
Greek and Nigerian culture, and they're very similar in a lot of things, but I'll tell you the thing about Greek culture is that they're very open as people. We're one of the few countries in Europe that actually cares about accommodating and speaking English. And because if you go to a lot of countries, you'll be surprised how many of them don't speak English. Or maybe they do speak, but they don't want to engage because they feel like we are very, very accommodating. And we have this word, it's called philoxenia. So philoxenia is basically hospitality, right? And if I'm a little bit historian and stuff like that, the stuff they teach us in Greek, like in school, you know, it comes from a word, and the origin of it is why, you know, everybody says like, oh my God, in Greece is so hospitable and they have great service and everybody's so friendly. Yeah, but it's from the ancient times, because in the ancient times, they used to think that whenever a visitor would come, he was a god in disguise. So you would have to treat him, you know, with love and respect, and you know, offer him everything.
Yeah,
because you know, like Zeus, this, that, like, oh, like you would think it was a god in disguise. So from the history, it was always been like very, very big into hospitality, into like showing your, you know, love, and you know, we're very, very loving people.
That's interesting. Yeah. Like, kind of take care of everyone as if they're like a god.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, no, but in disguise.
In disguise.
Because that's what the history and the mythology, that was the whole thing. You know, Zeus would come in, this god would come in disguise, and he would dress like a beggar, and you would give him like a loaf of bread, welcome him to your home and take care of him, and then he would, you know, give you a little bit of, you know.
I like that. I like that. I think we have some of that in the Midwest. Like we'll bring you in. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll give you like a casserole. We'll ask you if you want a beer. You know, we'll offer to cook you brats. Oh, you guys stay for dinner. You know, that kind of thing. But we're just not going to like open up our
emotions
and emote. You know, so like also like. Nigerian culture, Greek culture, which one opens the emotions more? Which one's more like open with the emotions and which one's more like closed?
I want to say, so think about this, the way I grew up, right? I think more in the Greek culture side of it. I think more Nigerians is just like so, they have different shape, like the way we were raised. Like I feel like people who are raised in Nigeria and people come out of Nigeria are like superhumans, man. Yeah. Like it's... Like if you come out of Nigeria, you it's not by accident that a lot of Nigerians excel overseas, right? If you know it's sports, from Anthony Joshua, like to the NFL, to doctors, to scientists, like they excel because the way of everything is so, you got to adapt at every time. And then at the same time, you really got to be as much as composed as you can. So yeah, I don't think there's a lot of emotion when it comes to
I got you.
That's how I grew up, at least. I don't know. Maybe
you kind of brought that up, like when that dad got into your brother's face a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like I think on your podcast you brought up the story and your brother brought it up of like when you guys won the title, your mom was kind of like, can I come out on there on the court, you know? And you brought up how like your dad always I can't remember if it was you or your brother brought this up as the same podcast, but about how like in a room he would kind of like be soft spoken or whatever. And that was kind of the experience of an immigrant in a different country. Is that kind of where that comes from?
But that's the old version. That's the last version of Nigerians. Like, I'll give an example. Like, my dad, the way we grew up, you know, because we had such a journey, right? It's such an adventure with my mom and dad. And, you know, they're immigrants. They go to Greece. They create a new life, kids, everything. And it's always been this bubble around us. Like, I was like, hey, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to do anything. It's just always been, you know, very calculated, very, you know, like, tread lightly, you know? And just like... Okay, I remember people, can I tell you the story? So when my dad passed away, aging at the time, at the resting spot, the funeral, where we at, it was just the family and just us, nobody, right? Just us and our agents, which is extended family. Like we are there with them tomorrow. And the amount of like, I could see it in their faces of how sad they were crying, how sad they were and everything. You know, I was like, man, you know, my dad was a great man. And then, you know, one of my agents sat me down at the time. He said, you don't understand how great your dad was. He said, having Giannis, having you guys, having one of the best players and families in the world, and your dad never asked for nothing. Never said like, you got to do this for my son. You got to do this. He has to be here. Nothing. He would say, like, just take care of him. Just make sure they're okay. Nothing, you know? And he said, And I have, this is my player. This is the guy I have. This is the my players, right? And he never asked for nothing. And then I have other guys who are just like, every day, just push this. You know what I'm saying? You know how dads are, right? How mom and dads are. You're their agent and son, and this is what we want. This is what we want to do. My dad never said anything. He never talked about basketball. He never said, I think you should go to this team. I think you should do that. Never. He was always saying, do you like the coach? I was like, yeah. You think he's going to give you an opportunity to just be on the stage? That was his thing. Like, get on the stage. And I remember when I first got with my first agent, he was like, oh man, Thanas, I can do this, I can do that. I was like, no, you don't even tell me anything. Just, can you just get me there? Just get me there and we'll make something happen. Just get us there. So that does comes from my dad.
Yeah.
Because he always like, get your opportunity to get on the stage and stuff like that. But you see, it's something that it's in part of our DNA now. It's part of us now. So.
And everyone can feel that. Like you and your brother, just like the humility that you guys have and the raw talent and everything. I mean, it doesn't go hand in hand by any stretch of the imagination, typically in pro ball, you know, or whatever, really pro anything, you know, if you got a lot of skill, it's hard to have that 1-2 punch of skill and humility, you know? And, speaking of skill, how you feeling physically?
Feeling good, man. I just went through a tough stretch. I was telling this to, I think I was talking with my co-host on my podcast with Tony. I said, like, you know, me being hurt and just kind of got it just influenced by all these things. Like it wasn't the best year. And then I was feeling, you know, like I got to prove myself. I got to do all these things. And then with social media and all these other stuff, I was like, now I got to show them. I got to do this, all these things, and kind of boom it. Like, instead of me saying like, hey, just be me. And everything works its way out. So it's way out. And then now I'm in a great, great, like, stride, move. Like I'm feeling great. I feel great.
Yeah. I mean, that is tough, isn't it? Cause I feel like, even in this world, sometimes you get into that thing of feeling like I'm only as good as my last video.
Yes.
Or like maybe for you, it's I'm only as good as my last game or something. Do you have that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I'm only as good as my last game, but the coach ain't really give me a chat. Like, it's crazy. Like you might say I'm good as long as my last video, and your last video was great. You just didn't post it on time. Maybe you didn't post it the right time. Maybe you didn't even post it in the right platform. And it doesn't adjust it, because now you're feeling like, oh, shit, I'm inadequate, or I got to give more and more. It's not a bad feeling. That's the feeling of somebody who would not stop till he gets to where he wants to be. That's not a bad feeling. The bad feeling comes after. If you decide and say, like, you make everything else obsolete, and you go like, no. I don't care about anything else. This is what matters. Like, no. That's not how it works. It's a whole package.
Right.
You're not just about your last video. You know what I'm saying? So
you're saying you take that as sort of the drive, the fuel, the fire.
Mm-hmm.
But you take the fire kind of like leave the ashes or something. Yes. You know, use it to fuel you, but you're still, you know, you're all these other roles as a human being, like brother, son, all that sort of stuff.
Nobody could. This is the reality, right? Nobody can say the only thing you're good for is because you're a comedian. No, you're not. You're a good, great person, bro. You got a personality. You have all these traits, all these other things, you know? Like, I see people be like, oh, man, I just stay home all day with my kids and I'm just a great dad. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're a great dad. But that's not the only thing you are, bro. You're like, you can literally be so many other things for other people. And I'm not saying that that's not important. It's important to be a great dad. It's important to be a great player. It's important to be all these things. But don't put limits in yourself and go like, oh, yeah, that's the only thing I'm good for.
Right. Because you're doing ball, yes, but mm-hmm. also like the social media stuff. You're an entrepreneur, you know, like how do you keep it all in balance? And like, what do you like the most out of it that like once your career is done, you're like, I want to do this thing. Do you have something like that?
Yeah. So I do have. So when I'm done. So now, hopefully in the next 5-6 years, probably, you know, I'm going to be, what, 39-ish in the next 6-7 years, then 940, I'll probably be done. Okay. I do want to spend time with the family, and, you know, talk with kind of people, you know, they're trying to kind of get me to get into the front office in space and basketball NBA and stuff like that. We'll see. I do believe I'll crush it for sure. There's no way. I'm very dedicated. I really, you know, and obviously, you know, all this with the NBA front office has to do with connections and who you know and the bringing of the players and how to recruit. I've been doing this behind the scenes my whole life.
Yeah.
So I can see that one part of it. But other than that, I do a lot of business. So I just kind of, I'm loving the brand, the stuff I do with my brand, the podcast. So for now I'm like just doing all these things because I started doing all these things after my ninth year playing professionally, right? Ninth, 10. And now I'm just like, 12 years in, 13 years in. So after my ninth year, I was like, okay, now I got to start kind of cultivating the other stuff too.
Yeah.
Like before that, it was just ball.
Well, isn't it crazy that I do stand up, yeah. You know, and then you have all these other things. Yeah. Do you like this stuff? Or are you like, I got to do that because I got to build a brand to make these other things happen? Like, do you wish you could just play ball?
So, no, I don't wish I could just play ball because that is the common mistake everybody does, right? When they start playing, they go two ways, which is wrong both ways. They go like, oh, I got to build my brand before I play basketball. That's wrong. You got to play bad. You got to do your thing first.
Yeah.
Show up in the court and then build your brand. And then they go like, you know what? I'm going to play basketball. And then when I get 40, then I'm start building my brand. That's false. They're both wrong. What you want to do is that build your ecosystem. What does that mean? Build your relationships, build your alliances, build the businesses that you like. Pick three or four or five, whatever it is that you like, I could see myself doing that. And once you do that, they're all connected. Because I'll give you an example now. Let's say we met through the podcast, through comedy, stand-up comedy, etc. And I go like, hey, I'm having this huge event in Greece. Would you like to come be, you know, the first gig, the first show, the first guy? Like, oh, you're like, yeah. We met through podcasting.
Right.
Show.
Yeah.
Give another example. You come to our family office and I go like, hey, we're buying this building or something we're buying, you know, in Greece, Mykonos, in LA, Miami, we're buying this building. Would you want to be involved? You go like, oh yeah, sure. So it's an ecosystem. You cannot stop an ecosystem.
Right.
The thing, what you can stop is a one way moving train, which is if you just play basketball, you're dedicated to playing basketball. If COVID hits again, which not going to work, it never hits again or anything. Something like that never hits again.
You got to actually knock on that wood, yeah, though. Yeah, 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 that would be good.
Thanks. Yeah. You're going to be devastated because what's going to happen is it's going to be like, oh my God, I've been such one-dimensional person and I don't have nothing else. Only thing I know is to chase a basketball, which is not a bad thing, but you should be able to cultivate yourself and say, okay, is that all you are? Is that who you are? Is that what you want to be? Now, you want to be dedicated. Great. Don't get me wrong. But that's all? You are?
Yeah. No, I mean, I really enjoy this stuff too, especially like the podcasting, because you do like, you get to talk about stuff you're interested in and yeah, you get to network, you get to meet people that you wouldn't all otherwise be able to meet and just have conversation, and that sparks ideas and all that sort of stuff. So it's just fun too. I mean, life is short. Why not have fun with it? You know, exactly. Speaking of fun, do you like this bird?
I love this bird.
Hannah made it. It's a paper mache.
It's a what?
It's paper mache, but it's a loon.
Loon.
And the loon, it's the Minnesota state bird, only because Wisconsin, like we have so many loons, like we don't talk about it. You know, Minnesota needs to make it their state bird, though. It's like a huge flex. But this is a cool bird. It's like it's a duck in a tux, if you want to think about it that way.
Duck in a tux. Yeah. I like it. I can see it.
Yeah,
I can see it.
What's your favorite bird in Greece? Because I'm like a big birder, so I just when I go to Greece, I want to know what to look out for.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm not a bird person.
You're not a bird guy.
No, but I do like eagles and stuff like that.
Eagles,
like hawks, eagles, and I can see that.
More of the birds of prey, huh? The predatory ones.
Yeah. No. Not only that. I think. I just feel like I like the way they're so free and so dynamic. Like, first of all, I think that how free they are. I think see everything and just like fly.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they're just, I mean, we call them predators because we see them do that, but they could choose to be anything.
Yeah. They could be pacifists. Yeah. They could be one of those hawks that just goes and eats berries. Yeah. You know, how dare we judge, you know? All right. So bird watching, that's like one of my hobbies outside of all the work stuff. What's one of your hobbies outside of all the work stuff? Like, don't have any tie to work. It's just like when no one's looking, what are you doing? And not like that, but when no one's looking, what are you doing?
I'm a big movie guy. I like movies.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm old school. Like, I go to the movies.
Do you?
Yes.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Ukrainian officials say a drone attack has destroyed more than 40 Russian planes deep in Russia's territory. The BBC's Paul Adams is in Kyiv.
People here are beginning to wonder whether what happened this morning is the most audacious operation so far.
On Face the Nation, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent pushed back on claims that the president's tariffs will force stores and companies to raise their prices.
Different companies are doing different things. They are making decisions based on their customers, what they think they're able to pass along to their customers, what they want to do to keep their customers.
Hurricane season has officially begun, and National Hurricane Center meteorologist Ana Torres-Vasquez says it's expected more of them this year because
warmer than average ocean temperatures, and this was the case last year as well. You know, warm waters provide that fuel for these storms to really intensify and develop.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Revenge for Reese Hoskins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Phillies wrap up their series today at Citizens Bank Park. A full recap this evening. Yesterday, the Brewers' Reese Hoskins with a pair of three-run homers against his former team, the Phillies, leading Milwaukee to a 17-7 win in Philadelphia. The Brewers knocked the Phillies starter, Jesus Luzardo, out of the game by early in the fourth inning. Manager Pat Murphy after the win.
I mean, he's got great stuff. He's, you know, he's a guy that we would love to have. You know, anybody in baseball would love to have him. He's one of the great ones in the game. His stuff is tremendous. We did have a good plan against them, and, you know, we executed. And we're playing with a lot more freedom, and that freedom creates some special things. So we put it all together.
NBA, the Indiana Pacers, the team that ended the Bucks season early in the playoffs, are headed to the finals. They knocked out the Knicks 125-108 last night in Indy to take the Eastern Conference Championship 4-2. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of sunshine and smoke overhead for today. Light west to southwest winds, highs in the upper 70s. Tonight, just a few clouds, lows in the upper 50s. Warmer Monday and breezy, mostly sunny, still smoky, with highs in the middle 80s. It's 66 at our studios.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Get those oars ready. It's time for Rafter Baseball. Your Wisconsin Rapids Rafter season is here, and there's never been a better time to get to legendary Winter Field. They have new and classic promotions going on all summer. And remember, if you can't get to the park, every hit, every pitch, every win is at 97.5 WFHR. We will have every game broadcast here as it's been for 16 years. Get to know the team with our segment, Meet Your Rafters, and listen for ticket giveaways. It's going to be a memorable summer with your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters and your 97.5 FM WFHR. Let's play ball!
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Folks, if you're just tuning in, I'm Charlie Behrens. This is Civic Media, and here's my conversation with the NASA Antetokounmpo. What's one of your hobbies outside of all the work stuff? Like, don't have any tie to work. It's just like when no one's looking, what are you doing? And not like that, but when no one's looking, what are you doing?
I'm a big movie guy. I like movies.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm old school. Like, I go to the movies.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah. Which movie theater do you go to?
So
let's blow up your spot a little bit.
No. You can't blow up my spot. I'll tell you why after. You cannot blow up my spot because. But
you can't blow up my spot. I'll tell you why after. That's why I can't blow up your spot, because you're going to tell me after we're rolling.
No. I can tell you. I go to Brookfield Tavern. I go to AMC. I feel like though like they've kept really. The traditional, like, because they went through a phase, right? And with Amazon now and everything, but I'll always be that guy.
Yeah.
I don't care if I'm 60, 70. I always believe in the family, the weekend, or alone, you know, or solo. I go solo sometimes, going to the movies.
That's what I was just going to ask. There's only a certain type of person that goes to a movie alone. I'm also that guy.
Really?
Yeah, I like it.
We should go to the movies together, and you just sit over there, and I'll just sit over here.
That'd be great. You just tell me the movie, the time and place. We'll go there. We may not even see each other, but we'll both text after.
Yeah, I'll just text you like, hey, are you watching this? Okay, we're watching. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm the creepy guy up in the corner by myself. Are you the other creepy guy in that corner by yourself? Okay, glad we got it.
I do believe that. I just feel like that. When I say hobbies, I like hobbies that involve like just experience and family. Like, I'll give an example. One of the hobbies that everybody keeps telling me to do and I don't do is I don't ski. And I don't ski. And a lot of people, like in Greece, we have like mountains and stuff. And in Europe in general, it's big, right? You snowboard, you ski. I'm the guy who like, I won't do that, but I'll come for the chalet, like I'll come for the, you know, for the cabin.
Yeah, you're up there for the ambiance.
For the jacuzzi and the stories and the hanging out. I'll come for that.
Okay. You've never skied though, no interest.
Never. Because I mean, obviously with basketball, I mean it's kind of impossible to quote unquote ski. Nobody says no, but you don't want to do extreme sports while you're
not when you can make a lot of money doing. Why would you pay $200 to go blow out your knee or something get paid good money to blow out your knee or something, you know? I was never very good at skiing. I've done it, but I'm not good at it.
Did you like it?
I like it, yeah. And I go once in a while, but I never grew up skiing.
Okay.
But I grew up rollerblading. I had a pair of rollerblades because I was pretty cool. As a kid.
Do they have a roller ability? Do they have a
roller rink?
Yeah.
They skate land. They probably have one somewhere. I haven't gone in a bit. But
which one was the, it was a movie I watched.
Here we go.
Was it?
It's about roller derby.
No. Oh,
was it?
Might've been.
Okay.
Might've been roller derby. It's crazy. I was watching. I was like, oh my God, this is dope. Is this a real sport? And I was like, no way. It's a real sport. But
yeah, the derbies, dude, they get intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever roller skated or rollerbladed?
Maybe younger, but I was skate, not rollerblade. Skate skateboard. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, on a skateboard.
I was a big fan. Like when I was younger, I used to break dance. It was real. Like I used to break dance. Used to parkour. You know what parkour is?
Yeah. You did parkour?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Dude, what's some crazy stuff? Can you do like a flip without a trampoline?
Now I'm 6'7". Now, probably could.
Wow.
I haven't done it in a minute, but I probably could. So parkour.
You want to try right here?
No, I'm not going to try right here.
Had to ask.
But I would do like, you know, obstacles, jump, quick. Like, so there's a, so in Greece we had this sprint.
Yeah.
So we used to call this, it was after the school and we would like sprint.
Yeah.
And what is it? So you go through obstacles and but you got to run full speed. You can't like just jog it and jump. Do
oh,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you
yeah.
like jump, the thing catch, where you jump over. Catch, everything. And like I was big into that.
This is a parkour course.
Yeah.
Is what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was, but not a legit one. We just made it.
Okay.
It was made up by us. I did that.
That's like extreme. That's like BMXing without the bike.
Yeah, I had a BMX bike.
Really?
Yes.
Like with the pegs and everything, and yes, you grind. Yes,
that's how I built my. Like, that's how I started jumping high. So,
really?
So true story. When I was younger, I had a BMX bike. And I used to ride it around. I used to have my brother. There's a scene in the movie that my brother's holding my shoulders. He's he's holding my shoulders. And I used to ride all Athens like this, go to practice everywhere. Like this with the BMX bike. You know, BMX bikes are a little bit smaller. They're not the mountain bikes or the smaller. And I used to ride that all the time and my backpack. And then all of a sudden, one summer, true story, I couldn't touch the rim. I could not touch the rim. And then one summer, I did that. Came September. Two hands, one hand behind the back, like everything. I was like, what happened? And they were just telling me, like, hey, you just really build your muscles through the bike,
riding
the bike and your quads. Yeah.
Wow. So BMX.
I got taller just a little bit, but yeah.
Right. But it was more about the quad strength.
Yeah.
And you got that by just biking around them.
Just biking around and with my brother.
What was your best BMX trick?
I think just lifting the steer and just pushing.
Oh,
but that's it. That was it. And then just jumping over obstacles. That was it. I didn't really have no.
Okay.
I'm not, I was no professional, like e-sports or jump. Like it was just that.
Yeah. Yeah. You chose to, like, as soon as you could dunk, you were like, all right, I'm going to focus on this. Probably better. I feel like the injuries on BMX are, shorter now careers.
This was close to basketball. I was 14, 15. It was like 14. 15.
Oh.
And it was, if you think about it too, it was, I loved it. You know why? Because somebody gave us that bike, right? Because BMX bikes are very expensive.
Yeah.
And he just gave us that bike and was running around. And I will never forget this. This is why I want to come to this story. And I was with my brother and we were outside, kind of working. We used to sell stuff in the streets and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I was working and I left my bike and I went back and my bike was gone.
Damn. That's brutal.
Sick in my stomach. I couldn't sleep for like 2-3 days, man. My bike was gone and I thought about it. I was like, I was so pissed. I was like, when I see this kid. And I always thought he was a kid. I don't know. Maybe it was an adult. Who knows? But I was like, when I see this kid. Now looking back to it, I was like, it happens. You know, those other stories that you see in the movies. Like, oh, they stole my bike.
Yeah. I feel for you. I feel for little you. I can see little you pissed off.
Pissed off.
Did you cry?
Just me?
Did you cry or you get pissed?
I was, had the pissed off tears.
Okay.
I had the pissed off tears. I was
Yeah.
But me and my brother was like, man. And we looked out the block, over the block to find it. Couldn't find it.
Damn. Sorry, dude.
That's right.
Have you bought one since?
You want to hear the story?
Yeah.
This past summer.
Yeah.
I went online and found the exact same bike, exact same wheels for the photo shoot. And I bought it and I sent a photo to the group chat. And I told Giannis, I found our bike. You see the scene's eyes lit up. It's like, what? What'd you find that? Same bike, exactly. Like, it was an old school 1992, like a specific, same bike, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Found it. I'll send you a photo.
Yeah. Do you remember what kind it was? Do you think there's any chance this was the exact same bike? Do you think
for sale?
Yeah.
Somebody no.
It was in Wisconsin you found it or in Greece?
In Greece.
Okay.
Greece.
Could have been the exact same bike, dude. Never know. Was there anything different about it?
I think there's no way the wheels are so well kept since then. So definitely the wheels a little bit, but you couldn't tell the difference.
Okay. Yeah, let me see that thing. I used to be a bike mechanic, so I'm kind of a bike nerd, or as some people call it, a bike fixer. That's not a real mechanic. Thanks, Dad.
Wow, I'm trying to look for photos. I can't find them.
Yeah, your phone's always great about saying, hey, remember?
Sick.
You see it?
Nice. So you got it, and then you guys do ride around it? Was Giannis on the back with you again?
No, we're too tall now.
You're not too tall. You can figure it out.
Yeah, we're too tall now, but...
you guys should do how it started, how it's going picture,
Yeah. I you know when I want to do that?
What?
People, I feel like sometimes people are too fast to do it. They go they do it too fast. I want to do that 85.
85. Yeah. Okay.
I want to be, kids around, family, everybody. How it's going, just us. Be as kids and then boom.
Yeah.
35 people in the picture. Like, how's it going now?
You're playing the long game here. Yeah. I like it. I like it. All right, cool. So, I think everyone, you know, kind of wants to know, what city are you thinking of living in next year?
So what is the question? You want to ask me if Jan is leaving or anything like this?
You know, no, I wasn't going to be rude.
You can be legit.
All right. What's Giannis doing next year? What are you doing next year?
It would be very, very, very bad of me and very, very unfair to answer for another person.
That would be.
That's one.
Yeah.
Second of all, is that we get asked that every other day.
Bro. Well, that's why he doesn't ask you.
It doesn't make any difference. You could ask me anything, bro. Everybody asks us that, from people in the street to ESPN to in the court, before the court, after, like, it doesn't matter.
I'm not everyone else.
Yeah, but you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
you forced this out of me. You know? You basically were begging me to ask. And I was asking about you. I didn't even ask about you.
No. But what I would say is that I truly believe, like, the team, you know, like, they're trying to figure something out and trying to figure out what to do and stuff like that. Now, well, the other thing I will tell you too is that you got to think about this. Like, the team has been in a row for a minute, and they're going through a rough patch, and you know, with the, like, not it, it, it it's not a, and people confuse some couple of stuff. They go, like, they talk about the first round exits, right? They go, like, oh, first round, and, you know, we lost first round, and we've been hurt. So the first round exit don't really matter because you've been hurt. It's more or less of the regular season, though. Like, you want to be better in the regular season. You want to create good habits, right?
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, there's no, like, I cannot, you know, there's nothing. Man, I think, like, they're going to talk. Hopefully they do whatever, you know, they do their best and get him to stay, whatever. Or, you know, I haven't been involved in this conversation because I haven't been here.
Yeah.
Last year. I was, you know, it's hurt. So I haven't really been team, because if I was, I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to talk about this, but, you know, I get stuff done. So I don't, like, I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, yeah, let's talk about this or let's talk about that. But what I would say is that the team has always done the best. Giannis has always, and I don't know if I can curse in this, but he's always been this amazing, effing unbelievable, bro, person for the team, for the city, for everybody. Right. And I say this, I am biased a little bit because he's my brother, but I do say this because I see the impact.
Mm-hmm.
I see that all day. So it's crazy to just even think about that. But, you know, at the end of the day, business is business. And, you know, I'm not saying business is business with Giannis. We saw that with, you know, Drew left, you know, Chris got traded, and, you know, and we've been with a couple of guys. Like, I've been with the team, like, almost a decade, like over half a decade plus. So yeah. I see this and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You know, you just always hope it's not the last rodeo, but shoot, it's not up to me. It's not up to me.
Right.
It's up to them. It's up to them. So it's not something I can control.
I mean, and, you know, a big part of your role is like, you know, what you hear in interviews and everything, what people say is like how great you are, like, in the locker room too. And, like, how much leadership you have and how much your brother, like, loves having you there and, like, looks to you, you know? Like, do you think...
I think this can be a misconception, right? And I really believe this. I think the other people love me, having me more. Like, they, I think the other people love having me more than my brother. This is not even a joke. I really believe this. Like, I really believe, like, people around, like, was like, yo, you need to be here. And I say this all the time, but I'm grateful, I'm blessed, I'm happy, man, just to be involved in this community, be involved with the team. And, you know, and we won a championship, bro. I cannot make this up, you know. And I've felt this feeling as a brother, being proud of my brother winning a championship with Costas. I've had this feeling winning with my brother a championship and winning myself a championship. So it's like, it's a different mentality, vibe. And I understand that, you know, we strive and work hard to do it again and again and again, as many times as we can, because we don't have all this opportunity.
No.
You know what I mean? If you're a coach or if you're a GM, you can be a GM or a coach till you're 65 to 70 if you want to, right? But as a player, you don't get a lot of chances in the postseason run.
Right.
And in a run towards the championship. So, you know, I'm grateful for what we've done so far.
Yeah. And do you feel like you'd always want to be on the same team together?
Me and him?
Yeah.
It's crazy. You know, we play always play together apart from 3 years. Yeah. We always play together, which is insane to say, but we've always played together in the same team. And we played together from since I was 15. Then when I was 19, 18 to 21 or 20, no, 22 or 4 years apart. He played with the Bucks, and then I came in 2019, the Bucks till now. I guess it's been fun, man. I love it. And I don't want to say it's been fun. Like, that sounds a little bit, whatever, but I've enjoyed it every last minute of it. So I definitely could see me doing that. But, you know, at the end of the day,
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Well, hello, and welcome in to Moonlight Graham Field here at the Lakeshore Chinooks home stadium. I'm Austin Thomas. Welcome into tonight's broadcast. Well, it's a beautiful afternoon here. It's sunny and just about 60 degrees outside and some good baseball temperatures. There is a little bit of wind out here. It's blowing from right to left, and we'll see if it has any effect on the game. But these two squads are getting ready for first pitch. It'll be coming around in just about 15 minutes here on the pregame show. We've got a loaded up pregame show for you. We're going to be talking all about Mason Onati, who he came into the Rafters yesterday, and he provided one of those key runs in the seventh inning in his first game. Of course, there's a lot to talk about yesterday's games, especially the second of the doubleheader. The first game was a nine-inning loss, 8-3 against the Rockford Rivets. The second game, though, it was 6-5, a seven-inning matchup that ended on a walk-off Noah Ruiz 2-RBI single. But another story within that game, Kenny Schultz, who was signed by the team earlier in the day after a tryout with Coach Ziggy, and, well, that made him out on the field after not having previously been with the team. He was an intern with the Rafters, and he went 4 2/3 innings, allowing just the one run right at the very end, but the Rafters were able to get the win there, and a very exciting game, and one of the best games that you're going to see all season, but it ended up with the Rafters on top, so they're hoping to keep that momentum here as they hit the road for Lakeshore, about 2.5 hours, not too far away. And, well, we're going to get started in just a couple minutes. Quick break here. When we come back, we're going to be sending you over to an interview that I'm doing with our pregame guest of the show, Mason Onati. That comes up next, and then starting lineups and starting pitcher breakdown after that here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win Contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, June 2nd at 7 a.m. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
Now, let's get back to exciting Raptors baseball here on WFHR.
Game show here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas, and joining me today as our pregame guest of the show, it's Mason Onati, who joined the Raptors yesterday for his first game. He was actually here 2 days ago. Mason, how are you feeling today?
Feeling great. Ready to go. Boys are hot right now, so...
Just got off of a bit of a bus ride here, 2.5 hours. Not too bad, but it was a little bit of an early departure. Waking up early, how you feel?
Feel good, you know. We got the walk-off win last night. Spirits are high for everybody, so, you know, we're ready to go here in Lakeshore.
Well, a big win last night, but it was also a pretty big appearance for you in the seventh inning. Yeah. Able to work on base and really was a key runner for the Raptors. What was going through your mind in that plate appearance? And also just kind of give me a rundown of how you felt throughout the entire game.
Yeah, I kind of got the two strikes all game, but when I get the two strikes, I compete. And I compete for my team, and that's the best I can do. Just try to get on base for the fellas and then use my speed on the base pass, in which I did. Got on second, stole third, then... forced an intentional walk, and then, you know, Ruiz did what he does.
Well, I think it was a nine-pitch plate appearance there in the seventh inning, something crazy like that. Yeah. I mean, how does it feel like once you get to pitch eight, pitch number nine, and you're just fighting to stay alive?
Yeah, as soon as you fell off pitch eight, you kind of shake your head, saying yes, and you're ready to go. You're just like, you just compete. You just got to out-compete the other guy, and it's just a 1v1 battle that I got to win. So.
Well, it seems like you've got good plate discipline up there, and when it feels like you're going up against a pitcher, do you feel like you're in control when you get to later in the pitch counts, like those eight-pitch, nine-pitch plate appearances? Or do you feel like sometimes it is the pitcher that gets the advantage the longer the plate appearance goes?
No, I think for me, as longer the plate appearance goes, I think I see the ball better. I start to see every pitch, see spin, and then take pitches out of the equation that he can't throw to me, and then... automatically that just puts me in an advantage because I've seen more pitches. So
yeah, well, going back a little bit to kind of this past year, obviously last season you played here with the Raptors and had a pretty good season trying to run it back this year, but in between then you played at Pensacola State College. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, that experience was awesome. I went down there for a JUCO and it was a great experience. Thankful to all the coaches who put trust in me, put me in every game and allowed me to get reps down there, and then won a couple games and do what we do over there. And then last year, it was awesome. You know, there's a reason I came back, because it was such a great experience from the fans and such a great culture that Zeke's got going here. So,
and then talking a little bit more about Pensacola State, I mean, you were playing Division One back at Tulane two seasons ago and took your red shirt there year there and then moved over to Pensacola State. What is the transition between Division One and JUCO, and then how does that also compare to the Northwoods League?
Yeah, it's different for sure. I mean, at D1 you're with guys every day that are 24, 25 years old, you know, coming in as a freshman, you don't really know what to expect, right? So then I took my advantage of getting my experience, getting that year under my belt, you know, just redshirting, staying on the bench. Coming up to the Northwoods helped me a lot because then I got all the reps that I needed. Started to gain more experience, and then when I got down to Pensacola State, I knew I had to be a leader, and then I was the older guy there, so I was a sophomore now, and then so I just had to lead the freshmen, you know, just take advantage of every opportunity that I had, especially playing in Pensacola, Florida. I mean, I'm on the beach, so it was amazing. So.
Well, we're on a lakefront today. Yeah. You trying to channel that action?
Yeah, you know, I might get a tan on the beach. We'll see.
Tan on the beach, that'd be fun. Yeah. You know, going back and kind of looking at last season, comparing it to this year, what are you kind of feeling team-wise, the differences between last year's Raptors and this year's?
You know, it's so different. You got last year, you got a bunch of new guys here, you know, still trying to get to know the guys, everybody's name, everybody's face. But standards the same, you know, we're trying to win. We're trying to win the first half, trying to win the second half, trying to win a ring for Wisconsin Rapids. So that's kind of the standard, and you know, everybody's just here having fun. So.
And then just returning to Wisconsin Rapids yesterday, how did that feel? Also getting to hear the crowd kind of get into it with the Gravenor chants. Yeah. Man, that's fun, isn't it?
It was awesome. It was a great experience. You know, that's something you're going to remember the rest of your life. So.
All right. Well, that's all the questions I've got for you. Anything else you want to add real quick?
No, thank you. Let's go today.
All right. Well, we're going to get started with the game in just a couple of minutes. We're going to take a quick break before that, though. And when we come back, it'll be starting lineups and starting pitcher breakdown here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Summer is here, and construction zones are everywhere. With crews working diligently, it's crucial to stay vigilant for nails and screws on the road. After all, a flat tire can quickly derail your day. If you discover a nail or screw in your tire, head straight to 8th Street Auto. Their expert team will not only assess your tire, but also conduct a thorough inspection of your vehicle to help prevent future issues. Trust the certified professionals at 8th Street Auto to ensure your vehicle is in top shape so you can hit the road confidently and fully prepared for your next adventure.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker in a move for the ages. 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure